I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm Valerie McIntyre. I'm on the global team, and I'm here with Pastor Chris Pringle. She is co-founder and leader of C3 Church Global, and we are going to talk to the topic of how to make a transition in life and leadership. Welcome, Pastor Chris.
Thank you, Val. Hi, everyone.
So, you know, I wrote a blog post recently on transitions, and of all the posts I put up, I probably got the most feedback on this one. And my blog goes out to all manner of people, and it was just so widely and well received that I thought this would be a great topic to like turn over with some of my friends and co-laborers that are going through and have gone through transitions. You know, in the blog post, I wrote about turning 30 and, you know, feeling that burn for career for the first time. And then, you know, getting into my 40s and not being married, realizing that I'm not having kids anytime soon. And that was a big kind of crazy transition for me. I'm, you know, hitting 60, it's, you know, you start to realize that your runway is a lot shorter than it ever was. And I think, you know, they always say you don't always feel as old as you are. And suddenly you're faced with immortality, right? So I wanted to look at this topic. And part of what transitions is really about letting go. And I mean, I know we can all relate to this. It feels like a death of a sort. Something's actually having to die. And so that can be exciting in a way. It can be relieving for those of us who've worked off for years. The concept of slowing it down a bit.
I missed that. I missed that word.
Just kidding. You know what I'm, yes. Well, so yeah. it's a relief in some ways. I there's moments where I think, you know what, it's going to be a relief. So it's got lots of emotions attached to it, right? But so I wanted to just jump into, you know, the transitions that you've been dealing with, the ones that you might be facing, and like getting some real words of wisdom from you, Pastor Chris, because you've been walking this out and many of our friends are going through it. And let's face it, transition happens like all the time. So if you're in your 20s, you'll be hitting that transition. So let me just ask you, just looking at this topic closely, you're the mama of the movement, and you've been doing this for now over 40 years, and you and Pastor Phil recently went through this transition, letting go of what was the flagship of C3, Oxford Falls. So can you just share, like, what was one or two really rewarding moments regarding that transition?
Sure. Thanks, Val. It's so wonderful to see you. And it's an absolute joy to have this opportunity to talk about transitions. And as you've already said, when you did your blog, the response was overwhelming. So that really does speak to the fact that people are watching. They're watching transition. They're watching transitions that have been done well and perhaps not so well. And wanting to learn how to do it well in the future, or even for many of our friends, present tense.
Me.
Yes, exactly. You as well. And other women that you'll be talking to on this podcast at a later date. But I guess for us, it's a very positive transition. I'll start with the positive, because the transition was meant to be at our 40th year, but because of COVID, It was great. We had another 2 years to really unpackage well what the transition would look like. And of course, our incoming pastors, Alan Jessen,
yeah,
it gave us time off the grid in a way to meet with them unofficially and spend time with them and impart to them and to hear their questions and their thoughts about what it would feel like for them. So when it actually came to the weekend of the transition, the official transition, it was at the end of a COVID period where we were not allowed to gather. And wow, it was a miracle that on that 14th of November, the government opened up public gatherings to be like 1,000 plus in an auditorium or a concert or whatever, with people in the forecourt. So we'd had so many meetings in preparation. I think the key was not just bumbling into it. It was well prepared with all our team. And that was locally and also globally, because of our role globally. There was a lot of effort and love put into the actual last Sunday of us where we handed over the baton to Alan Jessen. I think it was so fun that, you know, the team had done this wonderful movie of the journey of C3 for 40 years, 42 years. And that was like a... It was very moving. Normally, it's a book you get, but to have this movie was so in keeping with our personalities, our creative natures, and then so we had we were able to gather, and then one of the highlights for me was at the end of the service, we all came outside. There was food and whatnot, and we moved around to the back of the property and had a tree planting ceremony.
Which
kind of was the closure, because at the beginning of the church, when we were not permitted to build on the land at Oxford Falls, we had a planting ceremony and planted hundreds of gum trees, which are now massive, you know, beautiful big trees that surround the property. And it was like the next generation and the next generation gathered, chose a plant or a tree and planted it. So that was a big highlight. It was a very positive day. And then we literally, Phil and I, to give Alex and Jess in the room, we left town. We went overseas and had time off that our board recommended, and it was needed and well earned. And we had time. We had a gap after the official transition to really sit back and reflect on what we'd just done. That would be my first answer to that question. So it was it was marvelous and well prepared. That would be people thinking, what does it look like? Make no decision rashly about transition. Prepare for it well.
And it must have been so rewarding, right, to be able to pass the baton on as you did and to see the next generation rise to take on this beautiful church and do something, you know, not entirely new, but definitely, you know, they have both put a stake in the ground for the local church and they are really going for it, right? So I would imagine that that's incredibly rewarding.
Actually, it was one of the main things in our heart that because our role had shifted from local focus as a local pastor to our global churches, we really did want somebody who had that heart for Sydney, like to be focused back on Sydney and for energies to be going into the church and our locations across Sydney and not really with a global thought in their mind. And Alex and Jessen had that heart, which really was the original planting of C3 Church. So we felt like it was wonderful and continues to be so. We will be away for several months knowing that the church is growing and it's established and that people are loving the new leadership. of Alex and Jason.
I hear nothing but beautiful, beautiful things about the community and the fresh wind and the excitement for the future, and a real sense that the church is moving in a great direction. So that's a testament to what you and Pastor Phil birthed. And it's also a testament, you know, in line with this topic, to making that transition well. So look, as I said earlier, transitions can also feel like a death, and what, and you know, it can feel like what's next, and the unknown can bring so much anxiety and fear with it. And just sometimes the real, you know, that, the reality of the transition, you know, you think about it ahead of time, but you don't really know what it's going to be like till you actually do it. So tell us, like, just one or two things that you found challenging. And I'd like to believe, like, you're either, you found ways through it, or you're in the middle of it, but you feel really hopeful for it. But, like, what are some of those challenging aspects that all of us need to be thinking about as we face our transitions?
Yeah. I think one of the questions or thoughts that go around in your mind is, what am I going to do? Like, I mean, for us, we were leaving a role and going into another one. But still, and even now when I talk with Phil, because this is like it'd be 2 years ago. I'm trying to remember. It seems, it's about two years ago. And I remember writing something to Amanda, my friend. She's on our team at SYD, and she's a life coach as well. So she, I mean, I've always journaled. Not daily, whatever, like some people, but intermittently. And so I did begin to write down how I was feeling. And I did say to her that I felt like, with the analogy of a boat, because, you know, we sail, it's like you find the right environment, right? And then you check, and then you drop your anchor. And I said to Amanda, and even sometimes now when I'm not sure what's going to happen, you know, very clearly in the future, I feel like I'm up at the anchor well, and I haven't quite dropped it permanently. And here's the other thing. Phil and I, we're talking about this only like yesterday. That we are pioneering spirit, and even though we're in our early 70s, there's something that's in us that is pioneering, which means you're looking at the horizon, and the adventure is not being at the destination. Now, for some people, that's terrifying, and I've got to admit, some days it is. I'm like, what? Where are we going to end up? You know, where are we going to drop that anchor? Yeah. Where am I going to be buried? You know, so silly, but so real. I think that the important thing is that you talk about it. Don't let it build up and cause terrible anxiety. In fact, I'm going to read you something that I wrote, and it still does exist today, and I called it The Thing. And I wrote it in May 21. So this was as we were approaching transition, right? And I wrote, yes, here we go. Tracking slow and steady up an incline. It was like, you know, one of those roller coasters. This isn't so bad, I say. The sky is blue. There's sun on my face. This will be fun, I declare courageously to myself. Wait a minute. This thing goes way, way higher up than I initially thought. The sides rumble. I look down. The familiar landscape gets smaller and further away. I'm a little uncomfortable, a lot uncomfortable. The faces of what I know get smaller below me. Not this far away. Turn around, I say. Where are you taking me? This isn't funny. Then the thing stops. Oh, that was scary. But it's premature relief, Val. Next minute, I'm plummeting down, lurching in a washing machine of emotion. Stop, I cry out. But there is momentum now, out of my control. My mind is frozen. My stomach churns. I'm going to be sick. Take deep breaths, I say. Hold on, my knuckles are white. I close my eyes. This will be over soon. Just hold on. The thing comes to a stop. What was that, I say? Is this normal? A hand opens the door for me. I step out onto soft grass. Am I walking away? As I'm walking away, I look back and see what's written in block letters on the side of the thing. Transition. Bold and red. My chauffeur tips his hat. His face is kind and familiar. I'm not sure I was prepared for this kind of ride, I say. I thought I was so sure. Now I'm not so sure, silly girl, I say. He smiles and hands me a piece of crumpled up paper. Unmistakably my handwriting, I see, with little drawings scrawled in ink long ago.
Oh.
I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you lead.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, thanks for making me tear up here.
And me too. And herein, whenever I feel that, I come back to the center and the focus of who I am and why I am and why we do and who we do it for.
Yeah.
And it's Jesus. And when I fear, when I'm anxious and I go shut the door and I just am in the quiet.
Yeah.
That's what I see. That I did sign, I am yours, wherever you lead me. And it's easy to say when you're in comfort, when you know, but often we don't know. And that is the trick of faith.
Yeah, come on.
That we trust. And, you know, so that would be one of our familiar conversations that Phil and I have.
Yeah.
Especially as we've been in the Southern Hemisphere and then we go back up to the North.
Yeah.
And we're pilgrims. We've got the knapsack. We've got the suitcase. We're not completely settled in either place.
Yeah.
And I think for now we accept this.
Right. Okay. That's so you're saying you're accepting the little bit of the nomadic experience because Simon, as you know, Simon moved to Northern Hemisphere to marry me, which was awesome. Thank you. And then we went
That's what love will do.
Love will do it. I know. But it's interesting. We've talked a lot about it since, obviously, because he's Australian. I'm American. And we are from two different hemispheres. And our cultures are similar in many ways and not so much. And so we moved to London and we were there for 10 years. And then we moved back to the States. We just bought a house in Australia. So we have a house now in the States, a house in Australia. Our hearts are so firmly rooted with all of our dear friends in Europe. So it's so interesting to be an actual global person. And my family's here, his family's there. Our families are both places because we're all family. It's tricky, right? It's really tricky. And it's scary, you know?
May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, a C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register.
Yeah, it is tricky. And I think accepting that it is tricky is part of the relief in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I know is with Phil at my side, we continue to endeavor to make wherever we are that adventure.
And
we have each other, and you know, when I'm a bit low, we'll talk about it. And because, you know, it's unusual because I'm not a low person. But mm-hmm. I realized, you realize how much your the wine of fellowship makes up who you are.
Yes.
And when
yes.
that shifts and yes. you find yourself a little out of the fold in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've found for me, I have great friends here, and I'm endeavoring to make new friends up in America.
Yes.
I mean, ministry friends, yes, but I mean the koinonia, the people like, you know, friends yes. we've had forever, the people that you've grown up with, all of a yes. sudden you're a bit disconnected, and everyone yeah. in your absence is doing their new transitional thing.
Yeah.
And I feel in my heart that it's really important to stay connected to people that you have that fellowship with.
Yeah.
Even though you might be geographically separated, do what you can to maintain that close fellowship. And I think that that would be an interesting conversation in
yes.
the future as to how we can maintain
yes.
and create this new koinonia when it's not, we're not all in one local church.
Well, we've thought a lot about that, right? Simon and I yeah. thought a lot about that. I just really, just to interject quickly, because we were, you know, we'd go down to Sydney a few times a year. We went to Presidents. We saw everybody, et cetera. Like mm-hmm. when we were in Europe, we were seeing all of our pals there. We just went recently
yes.
to see our
yes.
friends. I went through my images recently for this upcoming amazing conference to like find some imagery. And I just realized how many times I was hanging out with Lisby. You know, and how much I love Lisby.
yes.
And we're getting
yes.
these new friendships yes. with Pastor Jeff and Sunny that feel so great. But I think you're right. It's about being intentional and maintain yeah. the relationships that you have. The challenge yeah. is the international nature of them at times. But we
yes.
are in we're living in an era of technology, right? So we have the opportunity
right.
to stay connected, not like just yeah. drop by someone's house for dinner necessarily, but we can still stay connected. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the onus is on us to make sure that those relationships stay intact. By being intentional about the outreach, you know, and the connection.
Yes.
You agree? Yeah.
I absolutely agree. And then for me, you know, ongoing post-transition, I feel like while we're up in Orange County and now that Joe and Christine have started C3 yeah. Orange County, I'm yeah. excited because I'm like, ooh. So when Phil came home after the vision night, which was
yes.
amazing.
Yes,
Joe
amazing.
Had given him the lanyard that says C3 Orange County team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got the lanyard. And
so you're ready.
yeah, and I'm like, I've already had lunch with two women prior.
Yeah.
Both were sort of out of fellowship a wee bit, and then someone who's definitely, her and her husband are on board in C3 Orange County, and she said, oh, please, we must have dinner with, or have get together with Chris and Phil. So I feel like I will intentionally, as I always have, gather
yeah.
and make friends,
yes.
be a friend.
Yes.
I think
yes.
be a friend first, be,
yes.
be the qualities that are in your personality to reach out and love and be interested in others. I try to do that where I am. Like even
mm-hmm.
here, even though I'm not on staff here at SYD anymore, I make sure I'm intentional about getting with friends
yes.
And couples and staying connected in the community as well
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
praying for people and letting them know I'm here in and out, but
yep.
while I'm here,
yep.
I'll come and see you. And I think that you have to find your sweet spot.
Yes.
Okay, so a sweet spot in your gifting is not geographical.
Right.
It's where you are at the moment. And if you have that little nudge from the Holy Spirit, follow him. So I guess I would have to say, talking with you now, that what excites me and fills me with fresh vision is when I hear that voice of the Holy Spirit and follow him.
Yeah.
And really, in a sense, in transition or not, surely that is our call.
It is.
To be obedient. Yep. And to be filled. And as we come into the outpouring more and more, it's like we're gathering together. I'll be wetting my pants. I mean, the gathering together just is like the ultimate high for me.
Totally.
And worshiping together and seeing all our guys working together. That's the ultimate high for me.
Yeah.
But it's momentary.
It's the family gathered, right? Oh, so the family is gathered. Yeah. There's power. Yeah. There's a reason why it says it in the Bible. There's power when we come together. Absolutely. And making time to get together and be together. Gosh. And it's a lot. Yep. I mean, you know, it's getting to Singapore. We're not here to plug that, but it's time, it's treasure. It's all of it. But you know, if you can, you know, lean into that, there's gold.
Exactly. I think if I am a local church person, I will do everything wherever I am in any local church, C3 or beyond, to encourage people that the community of the local church is like your food. It's feed your soul. You'll find your purpose in that local community. And so that has been one of the greatest thrills, by the way, after transition, when we were up north and we did we were able to go to churches that we'd not been able to actually go to as individual churches because we were responsible in Sydney.
Yeah.
So to be able to hang out more like weekend services and little pastors' days and that, but to actually spend time with the pastors and their wives and meet their families, that was just gold.
That's a plus for transition.
Huge plus.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah.
To stay connected, like figure it out. I mean, fortunately for us, we have an amazing team, Dada, Ditto, you, Sai, the global team who thought ahead for us to not just, they're sitting around, go fishing, we don't golf. The only thing we love to do is go sailing, but you can't do that all 24/7, 12 months of the year, although some do, but no. So to be able to understand, I think being in the house of God and visiting for me personally, was a great healing. It brought healing to the loss of and the saying goodbye. I mean, we read in the Bible when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was leaving, and he probably would not get back to see those churches. In his case, he didn't.
Right.
And they were weeping and hugging and saying goodbye. And I feel like that is it's an awful thing to experience, but it's so important to know that you are loved and that that you love them. It's a double win, and to know that bond of love is there even when you're separated by geography is so marvelous, you know. And of course, we're eternal beings, so
we are. You know. And that's the best part. Whenever I've had to say goodbye to someone, and I've said this to them many times, friends, you know, I'll see them again. We'll talk again. I'm intentional about connection for sure. But I'll also say, you know what? We have eternity together. And that's why this doesn't feel quite as terrible as it might feel.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
You know, you and Simon are so similar too, because his coming to Christ was a dream and someone spoke to him. It was Jesus that said, "Follow me." And Simon said he has all his life, all he has ever done is follow Christ, wherever Christ leads him. And we were talking recently to some pastors about transition and mentioned that for us and for him particularly, there's certain leadership roles that he may transition off of, or he will transition off of for sure, but he'll never transition off the influence that he has as a pastor, as, you know, as a leader over these years with our church and with other churches, because Simon's been really good about making connections outside of C3 because he's got a lifetime of gleaning and learning. And the idea of not sharing that with the younger generations is crazy, you know? So transition can be one of the most fruitful times. It's a time of convergence, yes. isn't it? Where all of the things that yes. you do and who you are, all that you've learned, all the paths that you've walked, they can converge into something brand new. And the purpose is clearly to enrich your own life for sure, but it's mostly and almost exclusively about enriching others' lives. And I've seen that yes. play out as well in transition. So, you know, and that brings me back to one, we've got like one or two quick questions before we go, Pastor Chris.
Yeah.
But I, you know, we've sure. seen Pastor Phil like become the online preacher, you know, it's amazing. And yes. so, but yes. it feels like men and women do things differently. I know Simon and I we're very similar in some ways, but we do our lives in some ways very differently. What works for him and I are different. We're men and women. Yes. We come from a different perspective. So just, you know, how do you feel men and women differ in transition in some ways? Like, where do you see some of those differences?
Right. Oh, well, I mean, Phil has always been that visionary leader. Boom. Yeah. You know, like, and he would say, in all honesty, that he grieved the loss of a local pulpit where we were preparing series for a local church, and you know, and that's where you're really getting that fresh bread. And when you travel to a conference or outside the denomination or whatever, that is you like all that you're already invested in your heart, you give out of the overflow. So he missed that local church and getting together with the team and laughing and organizing the name of the next campaign or series, whatever you want to call it. And he missed that. So, but he has always been called to, he's great on camera. I mean, we had JTV way back, you know, with one camera, and he's always been good to a camera. He's warm. He's personable. You do catch the faith of those messages.
Yeah,
so he was very intentional. And then along with Ben and the global team to do that. I think I would say that there is a space not yet filled for us as older women in ministry who are going through transition to fill.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it a wee bit in America, but not from the perspective of a pastor. It's more from like a ministry thing. I think there's a space there for transitioned pastors and leaders to fill woman to woman. And maybe something like this will be part of that. So, and also the nature of perhaps women's conferences.
Yeah.
We can have a section there where it's scratching that itch on what will happen to me after I turn 70 or 60 or whatever, because some people aren't heading into retirement. They're changing their role within a church and within a movement. And that is also transition. And so there are lots of layers, I think, where we're yet to discuss it. We're yet to, I don't think we'll ever have all the answers. I think to be available for women and girls to know that ahead of them are their leaders and pastors and mentors who have done it. And they did it this way, individually and collectively. And here's the options. So something to think about for somebody in the future.
It's definitely something to think about. I mean, like I'm living with a man and I'm seeing how he's dealing with it, and I deal with it differently. Like, I have a full-time job, so I'm still working. I'm dreaming of the day that, you know, I'm accountable to a lot. I have a lot of masters in my life. I'm like, I get those dreams of like, yes, sailing off into the sunset is definitely a dream I have. But I think it's about understanding the value that a minister like yourself has, you know, after the years you've invested, the work that you've done, to understand the value, the goal that you have and that you can share is really critical. I think, and you know, look, you said it before, pioneers pioneer. And there are people behind you settling, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way it works. A pioneer is probably always going to have a little bit of that. The Bible tells us, you know, young men will have vision and old men will dream dreams. Okay. I was like, what does that actually mean? Because interestingly, like yourself, you know, you're a pioneer. And I think pioneers will always have the seed of the vision in them. Like vision is going to always be part of their DNA. And letting that go is so hard, I think. So anyway, all that to say, I think that women of a certain age have a lot to give and a lot to share, especially with women coming up behind them, for sure. Oh,
definitely. Having heard you just say that about, you know, dreams and visions, I feel that for me, I've never been just that isolated dreamer or visionary. Mm-hmm. I have always dreamed and had vision in the context of a team.
Yeah.
And so that would be one of the things I suppose I missed, you know, because we had, and wherever I go now, I hear testimonies of this and that, and, oh, I was at, in the context of women's ministry, every woman, oh, I was at this conference and, you know, we hadn't been able to have a baby for 11 years. And then it was like prophesied that ones would have babies. And then the year later we had a baby. You forget that the power of women together, dreaming together. So I'd like to, and I, wherever I go to, I do see that. And I think that that's a very, very important part of our culture, that we don't exist in isolation. I guess that's what I'm getting to. So whatever we are to impart in the future, it will be in a cluster. Like my giftings and everything works in community. If I'm by myself, I'm like, oh, I get a bit lost. But when I'm in the community of faith and fellowship, I come alive.
Yes.
And so post-transition, I think one of my future adventures it will be to keep creating and finding those like-spirited women to create that community that others feel like they walk into and they feel that big hug. I feel that that's my future.
I love that
role.
I love that, Crip. I love that. I will support you in that. Count me a supporter. Come up behind you and help you.
You could be at the table.
I'm into it. I think it's early days for us to figure this out. You're the first generation of this type to, you know, once again, pioneer this new transition period and this transition experience. Yep. And so, you know, it's great to have your voice shaping what this could look like for so many of us that are going through it. You know, and like you said, we'll have podcasts with Pastor Bernie, Kelly Tebbett, Amanda will also be here. So, and Kathy Green. Yes. So we'll get different perspectives. Yes. But I think you've just put a flag in the ground for a new experience that we can all buy into. So thank you for that. You just got me thinking, and now I'm excited. So. Yay.
And so, I have to put up this little sign for all the girls. This is the one thing you must be in whatever stage of life you're at. Be brave.
Be brave. Be brave. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got it's that a, in my office, season, my home office. Yeah.
It is a season, though, of bravery. And for me, it's just how it's about leaning into Jesus. It's about checking my heart. It's about allowing myself to dream. I do find that some of the vision, like I'm a big, let's get it done and let's seeing the future. I feel like the dreaming part's coming up a lot, which is exciting. But listen, I just want to thank you so much, Pastor Chris, for coming and joining and having this conversation. I'm believing by faith. I know it's going to help so many women. They're going to gain and glean so much from this. So, and watch this space.
Because
I think there's some really wonderful things on the horizon. So, yay. Thank you so much.
Indeed. And look, don't go yet. I just want to quote from Ecclesiastes 3. Yes. It's been a great strength as I am still walking in transition as a pilgrim, I've found great joy in this scripture, Ecclesiastes 3. There is a season, a time appointed for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. There's a time. So I'm like, it's never over.
Amen. It's never over. Exactly. So thank you.
God bless you, Val. God bless you, everyone. Thank you. I love you too. Chat soon.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings. Are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.